Master, Redeemer, Savior of the world, Wonderful Counselor, Bright Morning Star, Lily of the Valley, Provider and Friend. He was yesterday, he'll be tomorrow, the beginning and the end. But the angel called him Jesus, born of a virgin. Mary called him Jesus, but I called him Lord. Jehovah Messiah, mighty God and King, bread of life, these the lasting words of love that I sing. Door to heaven, light dark. My home in the sky, the fountain of living water that never shall run dry. But the angel called him Jesus, born of a virgin. Mary called him Jesus, but I called him Lord. But the angel called him Jesus, born of a virgin. Mary called him Jesus, but I call him Lord.
Enjoyed that? Say amen. Amen. Can you hear me all right? Hear me in the back? Good. You not hear me? You pulled it up. I'm glad Jesus is my Savior. Amen. I'm glad God is my Father. The Holy Spirit's my comfort, and the Word of God is my guide. I've got everything I need right there, amen? I sure am. I feel like David. He said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I don't like alarm clocks, amen? Do you like? Anybody here like alarm clocks? If you are, you're crazy. Okay, we got a crazy one over here. Amen. But I like it when my alarm clock goes off on Sunday morning, amen? You know why? Because I get to get up and come to the house of God, and it's a blessing, and we still have this privilege in America. I'm thankful I'm not in the Mormon Tabernacle this morning. I'm thankful I'm not in the Mohammedan's Mosque. Amen. I'm thankful that I'm not in a Roman Catholic's Mass service this morning. I sure am thankful I'm in the New Testament Local Independent Fundamental Baptist Church. Amen. Bought by the blood of Christ. And the gates of hell shall not and will not prevail against it. What a blessing. If you turn to the book of Philippians, the epistle to the Philippians, chapter 3. I'm going to talk a lot about my second favorite person in the Bible, and then I'm going to talk a lot about my favorite person in the Bible. Because guess what? My second favorite character in the Bible points to my favorite person in the Bible. Amen? His name is Paul. We're going to talk about him. We're going to talk a whole lot about Jesus. Every time I preach, I point straight to the Savior. Amen? What a blessing. The epistle according to the Philippians. While you find your place there, I'd just like to express my gratitude to my pastor and my father for allowing me this opportunity. I got the best dad in the world. I got the best pastor in the world. He's been a great influence on me. He's taught me many things, and I appreciate him so much. I love him very, very, very much. I don't deserve this opportunity, and I'm overwhelmed. And by God's grace, every time I get up to preach the Bible, I'm overwhelmed by God's grace. And God could take a little nothing like me with a peanut in between his ears and use me to preach God's word. Don't deserve it, but I'm thankful. And I pray that this morning I'll get something from you and you'll get something from me. Amen? And we'll all get something from Jesus. Philippians chapter 3. We'll start in verse number 7. This is a power-packed passage, amen? We'll start in verse number 7. The Bible says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. That's a short verse, Our minds have a tendency to skip over it, so I'm going to read it again. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless. And I count all things but loss for the excellency. Oh, I like the language of the King James Bible. For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Amen. Because my own righteousness wouldn't get me very far. Yours wouldn't either. The Bible says in verse 10, that I may know him. Now I want you to, if you underline things, underline that in your mind, if not on the paper. That statement right there is the statement I want to focus in on this morning, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, amen, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, wow, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. In other words, if I can just get a hold of him like he got a hold of me, amen. Verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I need you this morning. Lord, my finite mind and my stammering tongue cannot and will not get your holy message of cross. Father, I need your help, Lord Jesus. I'm nothing without you. I feel like the songwriter. I need thee every hour. Most precious, Lord, I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Every single soul in this blessed church this morning needs a touch from on high. Lord, in the midst of what's going on in this country, in the midst of all the troubles and all the trials and all the tribulations, Lord Jesus, if you could reach down and touch us this morning and do something for us. I don't know why you've chosen me as your vessel this morning, but I pray right now that you cleanse me of sin. You'd empty me of myself. You'd fill me with your spirit. You'd help me to preach what thus saith the Lord. Lord, if Austin's doing it, nothing's going to get done. The Holy Spirit of God, I ask you to do it and do it through me. In Jesus' holy and precious name and by the blood of Christ, I pray. Amen and amen. Every book in the Bible has a context of which it was written and has a theme of which it was written. The context of which this was written, it's a letter to the church at Philippi. Now, if you remember in the Acts of the Apostles, when Paul went through the church, went through that area of Philippi, he cast a demon out of a girl and everybody got mad at him and they flogged him within an inch of his life and he had to leave. But little did Paul know, the Bible says that many believed on Jesus there, that a church rose up out of Philippi and that they sent a gift by way of a little servant named Epaphroditus, one of Paul's buddies. They sent a gift by way of Epaphroditus to Paul. Paul didn't know there was a church there, and they're sending him a gift. Paul's in prison, and they sent a gift to him by way of Epaphroditus. And Paul says, I've got to write a word to this blessed church at Philippi. So he takes out his pen, and he begins to write this letter to the church at Philippi. And the Holy Spirit fills this book of Philippians full. Now that is the context, but the theme is joy. I believe Paul wrote this to encourage the church at Philippi. You'll see words like joy. You'll see words like rejoice. You'll see words like, you know, joyful and things like that. And you'll see those words in this book because Paul was writing this to encourage that church at Philippi. My friend, the book of Nehemiah says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. So if you want to get spiritually strong, the book of Philippians would be a good book to chew on. And I say chew on because Joshua said, this book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth. Joshua read it and he chewed on it. And chewed like a nice piece of succulent beef jerky. He got a bite every day and he chewed on it. And like a nice piece of Hubba Bubba. He just chewed on it every day. It'd be good for you to get a verse a day. Just chew on it. Just chew on it. And I love chewing on this book of Philippians because it, oh my goodness, it's chock full. We just read a power packed, I call it a power packed passage of scripture. My friend, this book is not dull. If you think this book is dull, there's something wrong with you. This book is not dull. Are you kidding me? Have you read it? There's oceans being split. There's moons turning red. There's giants getting killed. This is a wild, this is an awesome book. There's men getting raised from the dead. There's murderers becoming preachers. This book is amazing. This book is wonderful. And the seven verses we just read are power-packed. But I want to focus in on one statement. Now, it's an important statement to me, and I want to make an important statement to you. The Bible says in verse 10, here's Paul. He's been in the ministry for 20 years. He's in a prison. He's in a prison. Short, little, stocky Paul. Can barely see. He's beat up. He's been flogged the inch of his life. He's sitting in jail with shackles on his feet and hands. And he says that I may know him. 20 years of ministry.
He heard the very voice of Jesus Christ in his ears. And he says, I want to know him more. My friend, did you know you can never get too much Jesus?
Listen to me. You can get too much religion. You can get too much food. I've been there. You can get too much sports. Yeah, you can get too much of a lot of things. But my friend, you can never get too much of Jesus. Can somebody say amen right there? You can never, all David said, taste and see that the Lord is good. I abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I can never get enough of Jesus. I can never get enough of my Lord and Savior. That was Paul's attitude right here. But I want you to notice not by way of introduction. Let's go ahead and dive in. Number one, in order to understand that I may know him, you've got to understand, first of all, and I use a word I like. The word is cantankerous. Understand that Paul had a cantankerous past. And this cantankerous past was ended. Look at verses 5 and 6. Look at Paul. He says, look at me. Verse 4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he had whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Paul's saying, hey, I know what it's like to be self-righteous. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Listen at it. Oh, I think he dialed a little back in that self-righteousness a little bit. As touching the law of Pharisee. Listen, I'm a Pharisee. I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I know what it's like to be self-righteous. But have you ever read Acts chapter 9? The Bible says, while spewing out murderings, Paul, he was begging the Pharisees, begging the high priest. He said, give me some doc. Here's stocky, little 5 foot stocky. He was real short. Little stocky Paul, little dim eyesight, the big old beard, wearing his nice robes, as self-confident as he could be, as self-righteous as he could be. Said, high priest, give me some letters. I want to go kill me some Christians in Damascus. Oh, man. Paul was dedicated. He was educated in the highest school of the Pharisees. He was a self-righteous man. You couldn't hardly talk to Paul. He would be degraded. This is before Saul. This is Saul, not Paul. You can hardly talk to Saul. He would just talk down to you. He's a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He didn't deal with sinners. And he believed he was killing heretics. But my friend, on the road to Damascus, a light shined from a certain place. It's the same light that America needs today. It was a light from heaven. Hey, we don't need another light from the stripping house out there. We don't need any more of those lights. We don't need another light from a ball court. Can somebody say amen? We don't need the lights from the bar to be shining this morning. We need a light from heaven. Hey, it was a light from heaven that shined down on Paul. Or Saul, I should say. And Saul gets knocked on his backside. Now, here's a self-righteous man, dusting his own arms off, on his backside. And now he really can't see. He was dim of sight. Now he's blind. And Saul looks and he says, and he hears, listen, look, you gotta get the picture. Here's Saul on his way to Damascus. Here's Saul, self-righteous, confident, talented, smart, tough, feared. But Jesus Christ knocks him on his backside. Hey, it don't matter what you have. Jesus Christ can and will knock you on your backside if you need it. But it's funny how Jesus talks to him. Could you hear the tender voice of Jesus coming from heaven? Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Had to say it twice because men have to be told things twice. Samuel, Samuel, Saul, Saul. How many times have you had to ask your wife or the woman sitting beside you? What did he say, Philippians 3? Yeah, it was Philippians 3. Okay, thank you. We got to be told things twice. Amen? And he said, Saul, Saul, because Jesus knew. He said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou? That tender voice from heaven. And listen to Saul's reply. Who art thou, Lord? He said, who are you? And then he called him by his name. It's a capital L. Who art thou, Lord? Listen, he knew of him, but he didn't know him. Hey, there's a lot of people that know of him, but there's something about really knowing him. I'm talking about meeting him. A lot of people meet him and then walk away and never talk to him again. But a lot of people meet him and hold on to him, won't let him go. Hey, I'm talking about being a Christian that has come into contact with Jesus Christ, has had a holy contact. I'm talking about a conversion. I'm talking about knowing. Listen, at the judgment seat, he's going to look at Christians. He's going to say, depart from me, for you never knew me. No, he's going to say, depart from me, for I never knew you. What matters is Jesus know who you are. Not do you know him, does he know you? It's important that you meet him. Listen to me. You may think you're saved, but you never met him. You need to meet Jesus Christ. Listen, there's no such thing as 50% Christianity. Not if you really meet him. Not if you really meet him. Not if you really come into contact with him. Not if you really come into contact with the Savior. As a 5-year-old little boy, my daddy gave me a Bible, and I come in contact with the Savior of mankind. I come in contact with Jesus Christ himself. My life has been forever changed. Look, there's something more to Christianity than just this pious, good-for-nothing pettiness that we have, this lukewarmness. Jesus says, I spew that out of my mouth. I don't want that. He said, I want somebody that wants to know me. I want somebody that's really come into contact with me. Look, Paul had a light shine from heaven. It knocked him on his backside. He says, who art thou, Lord?
He knew that voice was something else. He knew that was something special. Anybody ever heard that voice? You knew it was something else. He leaves no question. I've had people, friends from college, call me and say, I don't know if that was the Lord saying that. I say, oh, it wasn't the Lord. You know why? He leaves no question. When you hear him speak, he leaves no question. He said, Saul, Saul, that sweet voice of Jesus. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He said, who art thou, Lord? He said, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks, buddy. It's hard. He says, yeah. Then he says, what would you have me to do? What would you have me to do? That's what Saul said. Now, Paul, now his name changed to Paul. I'm glad Jesus gave me a new name written down in glory. Amen. Jesus Christ changes life. Listen to me. You cannot come in contact with the Savior of mankind and he doesn't leave you changed. He changes lives. He takes the murderous intent and turns into a holy gospelizer. He takes a thief and turns him into a giver. Amen. He takes a man that has no brain and turns him into an intellect. He will take you and change you and use you and change your life completely and totally. You'll get new affections. You'll get a new life. But first of all, you got to get that cantankerous past ended. And Jesus will end that. We all have a past. Amen. But Jesus is a past ender. He will bury it deeper than the grounds can go. Oh my goodness. He will cast it as far as the east is from the west. He will wash it in his holy blood. Now you wake up and look at me now. If you don't get anything I said, listen to me. Jesus can and will cleanse your heart of all your sin. Listen to me. Jesus can. Every day he'll wash you. Every day he'll renew you. Every day Jesus can and will cleanse you. Listen to me. Isn't that great? He can cleanse me of all my sin, even my own self-righteousness. He can give me the better instead of the good. He can give me the best instead of the better. He can take away your sin and wash you and cleanse you and make you new. What a blessing that is. That's what he did to Paul. Amen. He says, look, I know what it's like to be self-righteous, but my cantankerous past has been ended. I'm glad I can say today that my past has been ended. My sins have been. Could somebody say amen? If y'all can't say amen to that, then you just need to get saved. My past has been ended. I've been washed and made renewed. You're looking at somebody that's been raised in a Christian school. I've sat in the pew. I've been religious. Listen to me now. You can pray 3 times a day. You can fast. You can Hail Mary. You can do whatever you want to do. But if you don't get a hold of Jesus Christ, you will die and go to hell. It's that simple. You need to come into contact with the Savior of mankind. Listen to me. The reason you have no vivid Christian life, the reason your spiritual life is as dead as Saturday morning on a, I don't know, I can't think of it. As dead as, it, I don't, just dead. As dead as a doornail. The reason your Christian life is dead, because my friend, you ain't got no Jesus, because Jesus is alive and well. Jesus is alive and well. That was a light that hit him. Jesus spoke to him because he was alive. And Paul says, I've been persecuting what I thought was heretics, when actually they're not heretics, but they're the actual church. And Paul says, what do you want me to do, Jesus? And Jesus seemed to Ananias. Ananias put his hands on him. He got the Holy Ghost and he got born again. Amen. I'm glad that just like Paul, I'm born again. I'm glad just like Brother Freddie, I'm born again. I'm glad just like the pastor, I'm born again. Amen. I'm saved. What a blessing. If you get over your salvation, you're on dangerous ground.
Right.
Dangerous ground. What a blessing. I've never got over. My cantankerous past is over and done. What a blessing. Notice number 2. His cantankerous past is ended. But he gives us in verses 7 and 8, a Christian perspective is expressed. A cantankerous past is ended. But then Paul begins to give us a Christian perspective, and he expresses it. The next 2 verses ought to be your outlook in life. Let's read them. Oh my God, help me. I'm about to preach. I hope you're ready. But what things were gained to me? Those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss. For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, I love the name of Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. After being born again, Saul was now Paul, and along with the new name came a new perspective on life. Wow, isn't that amazing that Jesus can change your life? Isn't that amazing that Jesus can give you a new perspective? Paul says, he gives a glimpse of this, Colossians 3. He says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. That's some powerful statements. He says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Get to looking at Jesus, where Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Then ye also shall appear with him in glory. You're going to heaven, so go ahead and start living like it. Amen. Live like you're a citizen of the heavenly glories of heaven. Live like you're a citizen of a mansion in heaven. Go ahead and live like it. Go ahead and get a hold of Jesus. That's what Paul's saying. Are y'all with me this morning? What a blessing. What a blessing. And Paul has now a Christian perspective. Look at verse number 7. But those things that were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. That is a powerful verse. If I was to go up to Paul right now in glory and say, Paul, did you ever feel like you lost anything? I say, laws? Now get the picture. Paul is sitting in a prison cell. The dude can barely see. He's been stoned. He's been shipwrecked. He's been bit by a viper. Anybody been bit by a snake in here? Raise your hand. Oh, Paul was. Anybody been stoned in here? Raise your hand. Paul was. You ever been beaten with an inch of your life? Paul was. That was Paul. He said, laws? Are you kidding me? Do you know who Jesus is? Hey, look at the throne. Look who's sitting at the right hand. That's my best friend. Laws? Are you kidding me? You Christian school kids, dressing right. You ever feel stupid for dressing right? Not going to a public, I've heard it all. You don't go to the public pool, you stupid Christian school kids. Look at you guys. You're a 20-year-old virgin. Are you kidding me? I'm just being real with you right now. I'm just talking real. Talking real life with you. Are you kidding me? Look at you. You don't go to the movies? What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? You don't watch our, what's wrong with you? You know what I'm saying? You know what I say? I say anything that comes between me and my Jesus Christ, I count it but dung. By the way, I won't say what that word really means. That's a fancy word for a certain word. Dung. Lower than trash. Those things that were gain to me, those I counted loss. I used to live my life for basketball, girls, working out, all that stuff. But one day I got a hold of Jesus and I changed my affections. Somebody help me preach. It wasn't my daddy changed my affections. It wasn't some preacher that changed my affections. It wasn't some magazine that changed my affections. It wasn't some 10-step program from Oprah that changed my affections. It wasn't some nonsense that changed my affections. Bless God, it was Jesus Christ himself. He come down and said, hey boy, why don't you preach for me? I said, yes sir, what would you have me to do? And God changed my life. He wants to change your life. This, don't go out of this church dead. Don't go out of this church without a touch from on high. Good night, it's Jesus Christ. He rose from the grave. Are you kidding me? He rose from the grave. He has all the power. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is God Almighty. And those things that were gained to me, those I kind of lost for Christ. I packed up my own self-righteousness. I packed up my own abilities. I packed up my own reliance. And I transferred it to the Lord of Lords. I transferred it to the King of Kings. Oh, he's a father to the fatherless. He's a mother to the motherless. He's a brother to the brotherless. He's Jehovah Nisi, my banner. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Jehovah Rapha, my Lord. Jehovah Elohim, the God Almighty. The King of Kings. I'm trying to preach. I'm trying to get you in on this thing. I'm trying to tell you about my Jesus. Oh, he's my everything. He is my all in all, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He is the light of the world. He is God Almighty. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the King. Oh my goodness. He's sitting on the throne right now saying, why won't somebody seek me? He asked Peter three questions. He's asking them today. But whom say ye that I am? Peter, what do you think about me? Peter answered right. He said, thou art the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. He said, Peter, you answered well. And he said, Peter, they're leaving. Who will you go? Are you going to leave me too? Peter said, oh, where can I go? You have the words of life. That's me. I got an altar. I said, Lord, where can I go? You have the words of life. I got nowhere to go but you. Listen to me. You need to get your eyes on Jesus Christ. Isaiah saw the King. Notice Isaiah had the same reaction that Paul did. He said, what would you have me to do? Isaiah said, I'll go. Samuel said, Lord, what do you want me to do? What is it you want me to do? King, take my life and let it be consecrated now to thee. Oh my goodness, get to Jesus Christ, get to the cross and give your life to him. Please do so. God can do great things with you. This is a murderer that became a gospelizer. Are you kidding me? This is a murderer that became the greatest evangelist to ever live and wrote most of the New Testament. God can do that with you. He'll do great things with you. Yes, he will. That's Jesus. And then the third question is this. Hey, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? He says, sure, I'm fond of you. Oh, he says, no, do you love me? He says, no, I'm fond of you. He says, Peter, come on, man. He calls him Simon, calls him by his old name, reminds him of his sin. He says, do you love me, Peter? Listen, you need to love me. You need to love me, Peter. Peter says, I love you. He says, good, feed my sheep. And Peter became a great man of God. Have you ever read 1 and 2 Peter? Read it sometime. Oh, my goodness gracious. Listen to Peter's heart. Holy Spirit working through him. He preached and 3,000 people got saved. Somebody that denied the very name of Jesus preached and 3,000 people got saved. That is the power of God. That is the power of God. That's a Christian perspective. Listen, there's nobody like Jesus. Have we lost that today? You know what America's lost. You want to, a 19-year-old kid is about to tell you America's problem. About to, you ready to hear it? You know what? It's not sin. It's not sin. Sin, Jesus hates it, but he done conquered it. It's not the world. Jesus said, I've overcome that. It's not the devil. Jesus done conquered his works too. It's not that. You know all it is? It's a lack of Jesus. That's the problem with America. It ain't the devil. The devil ain't got nothing on Jesus. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding? Can you hear me? Are you kidding? I'll be louder. The devil ain't got nothing on Jesus. I remember when Jesus walked in the room and the demons were in the room, they got on their knees and trembled. I'm not going to be scared of the homosexual. You can't. I'm not scared of the homosexual agenda. I'm not scared of atheism, postmodernism, Hinduism. I ain't scared of it because my Jesus makes the demons tremble. I'm not scared of deadhead Christians because my Jesus makes the demons tremble. God can take one man and change the world. God took one man and led Israel out of Egypt into the promised land. God took one man and rebuilt the walls. God took one man and rebuilt the temple. God took one man and wrote most of the New Testament. God took one man and evangelized the whole corner of the world. God took 11 men and flipped, turned upside down. Jesus just needs one. Amen. That one should be you. Get in line. Work for it. What a Jesus. That's his Christian perspective. Would you take your Bible, turn to Psalm 27? Let's look at another great Christian's perspective. I feel good this morning. I love Jesus so much. Psalm 27. Great book of Psalms. This psalm was written before David was king. This psalm was written when David was running from Saul. Oh my goodness, Saul was trying to kill him. David knew he was already anointed. David knew he was on his way to the throne, but the path wasn't so easy for David. But God was watching over him. Let's read in verse number 10. Psalm 27, 10. If you're there, say amen. Amen. The Bible says, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path. Because of mine enemies, deliver me not over into the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted, listen to this, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. David says, I was close to fainting. I was running from Saul. I was tired and weary. I was all by myself. But when I didn't have anybody take me up, guess who took me up? The Lord took me up in my arms. If you ask Paul today, he said, I was running from the Lord. I was as self-righteous as I could be. I was blind as I could be. I was dead in my trespasses and sin. I thought I was doing right. I thought I was doing what I was supposed to do, but I was misled and misguided. But oh my goodness, when nobody would take me up, when I finally came to the knowledge of my sin, and I cried out, it was the Lord Jesus Christ's voice that took me up. It was Jesus Christ himself that took me up. Ask the thief on the cross that said, Lord, remember me. And he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. When nobody else could take that thief up on that cross, Jesus did. Ask Lazarus about it. Lazarus was in the tomb. When nobody else could get Lazarus out of the tomb, Jesus did. When nobody else can pick you up, Jesus, I've been there. Jesus will. Jesus will. Jesus will. Look, some of you are expecting things out of the world you're not going to get. Some of you are expecting things out of the pastor you're not going to get. Some of us are expecting things out of the job that we're not going to get. Some of us are expecting things in places they're never going to come. You will not find satisfaction in this life without Jesus. C.S. Lewis said, people trying to find love and peace without Jesus, it's impossible. There is no such thing. He was right. He was right. Will somebody get to Jesus today? Will somebody get to his feet? Get a hold of him. Amen. So we got a cantankerous past ended. We got a Christian perspective expressed. We got a Christ partnership enjoyed. Wow. It gets even more powerful. Look at verse number 9. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. What a blessing. Look what Paul is saying. He's saying, yes, I'm going to get to know his resurrection power. Wow. Paul says, look, I'm going to be found in him and he in me. Isn't that amazing? That's contact. That's meeting somebody. Then he says, the first thing I get is the power of his resurrection. Need I remind you that Jesus rose from the grave? Are you listening to me? Listen, Jesus is alive. I walk by the tomb of Buddha. I looked inside and saw his bone. I journeyed on to see Muhammad, still wrapped up in his grave clothes. But then I journeyed to a garden where old Joseph left him lay. The Lamb of God, God's own begotten, was no longer in that grave. If you knew him, if you knew him like I know him, you would know resurrection deep inside. You're looking at somebody that's immortal. You know, this mortal, Paul said, look, you're going to see a great thing. This mortal is going to put on immortality. This corruptible is going to put on incorruption. Ye shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The strength of sin is, the sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory
through Christ Jesus our Lord. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Listen to me now. Look, this dead stuff's got to go. Because I got the power of his resurrection. This body, when the trumpet sounds, this body's going to go. Yeah. So I got the Holy Spirit right in here. Holy Spirit's going up there. I ain't staying down here, bless God. My grave's going to be broke open. Amen. Can somebody help me preach? Look, I was thinking the other day. I love my daddy and my mommy. I was laying in bed. I said, man, we're a heartbeat away. A heartbeat away. That's it. There's people on that Amtrak. Boom. Gone. Eternity. Heartbeat away. Then I thought, heaven. My dad's going there. I'm going there. Why fear death? Paul, why are you going to Jerusalem? They hate you. He said, God told me to go. I'm bound in the Spirit. And Paul looked at him and said, it doesn't matter. You guys still don't get it, do you? It doesn't matter if I die, because Jesus lives inside of me. And I may shed off this body. I may shed off this pain. I may shed off this dead works. I may shed off this deadness. But glory to God, I am in a strait betwixt two, because to be with him is far better. Amen. Hey, when death comes knocking at my door, I'm going to say, come on in. Because guess what? My Jesus already front kicked death in the face. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, he plunged hell. He led captivity. Listen to me. He led captivity captive. You know what Jesus did? He went with him after he died on the cross and conquered. He went down the depths of hell, kicked the door open, and the devil ran. Jesus said, hey, Slipper, come over here. I'm not going to be wrong. He said, you need to go to Jesus. Tonight. Lazarus, people on the cross, come up with me. Let's go get the boys over in paradise. Let's take them for a minute. So Jesus did. Is that not amazing? That same power lives deep inside of your heart. I'm trying to wrap my mind around that. If you help me wrap my mind around it. I'm trying to wrap my mind around this power. I'm trying to wrap my mind around it. And then Paul says over in verse 20 here, he says, you'll have a body like his, and you'll be like his, and you'll be with him. That's going to be an ender. That's going to be something. I can't wait to sit in between Paul and Peter when David gets up for the special note, gets up to preach, and then Jesus comes out and gets to preach in a while. Woo! I'm telling you all, the power of his resurrection, the power of his resurrection, this cross was going to put on in corruption. Wow, this is not a man, the trump of God touched down. The dead in Christ shall be right. You will be changed in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. Oh, we're all in to talk about. In the twinkling of an eye, I'm going to travel past the Milky Way. I'm going to try to see man on these galaxies. I'm going to travel past all the stars. I'm going to dance across the stars. I'm going to give you the all great, all that stuff. Listen to me. In the twinkling of an eye, we're going to go past all that. We're going to go right to the Lord, right to heaven. Streets of gold. I didn't talk about this. Streets of gold, all river of crystal, perfect, fresh water flowing from the throne. Oh, it's going to be amazing. I wonder what the mansions are going to look like. I wonder what the church services are going to be like. I wonder what it's going to be like. Isn't that amazing? The Bible says, you guys can get a hold of Jesus Christ. Understand, when you know it, you're going to know the power of his resurrection. And that's some serious power. That's some serious power. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? Try to get their cross before I come down here. Look, don't fear me. Fear him. Send out to Tobiah. Look at me and mine and all those fellas trying to build a wall. Look at them. They can't build a wall. What are you going to do, rebel against the king, Nehemiah? If a fox went up, they'd break down. Now they got jokes. If a fox went up, they'd break down the wall. Nehemiah found a rock. Excuse me. He found a rock. He said, hey, listen, fellas. Don't fear them. Fear him. He said, have you forgotten the one that took you out of Egypt? Have you forgotten the one that parted the Red Sea? Have you forgotten the one that was a cloud by day? And a pillar of fire by night. Have you forgotten this kind of glory? Have you forgotten Brother Elijah, Brother Moses? Have you forgotten these guys? Fight for your brethren. Fight for your sisters. Fight for your families. You've got something worth contending for. Obviously, contend for the faith, which is most clear of the saints. Get a hold of Jesus Christ. Get a hold of that power of God. He will fight for us. And they said they took a sword in one hand, just picture the Bible, and they got the word with the other hand, and they rebuilt those walls. Bless God. And they didn't do it by themselves. That's power. And that was before Jesus Christ. Think about it. I've never thought about it. But Jesus rose. He's got some serious power. Never thought about killing the devil's skin?
The devil always begins trembling. Trembling. I've trembled before. I'm only coming up with a little sooner. I've trembled. The demon did that to Jesus. That's the same power with you. And if I ask the preacher, if I'm doing it. Bless God. Amen.
All right, I'll run quick. Look here. The Bible says, not only the power of his resurrection, but you're going to know his rejected position. Uh-oh, here's the downside. Maybe. Let's read. Be found in him, not having unrighteousness of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, righteousness which is of God, by faith that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Now, this tickles me a little bit. The dude's in prison, and he's talking about joy. Now, I don't know if I'd want somebody in prison writing me a path to joy, would you? Not unless they got the Holy Spirit of God living inside of them. Paul's saying, listen, if you suffer in the name of Christ, it's a joyous thing. Did you know that Jesus suffered? You suffer, you're becoming more like him. Did you know Stephen was more like Jesus as he was being stoned than he ever was in his life? He looked at him and said, Father, forgive him, just like Jesus did. He was more like Jesus in his death than his life. You can be more like Jesus smack in the middle of your suffering than in your life. You can be more, can you hear me? You can be more like Jesus smack in the middle of your downtrodden suffering than in your good than in the good stuff. You can be more like Jesus in the valley than the mountain. You can know him in the power of his suffering, and you may know some of his suffering. The apostles were preaching, their own brethren beat them. And then the Bible says they went away counting it all joy. That's amazing. Fanny Crosby said, if I can meet the physician that messed my eyes up, I'd thank him. You ask a blind missionary to Sudan today. He said, I thank the Lord I'm blind. That's a different kind of fellowship right there. That's not natural. It's not normal. But that's Jesus. That's Jesus. Fellowship of his suffering. You also know his redemptive passion for the lost. Now, being made conformable to his death. If by any means I might attain the resurrection of the dead. You'll know his passion. Listen, we've lost Jesus' passion for souls. Jesus said, I came to seek and to save. That which was lost. Jesus had one goal. You know what it was? It was to die. Why? To save souls. Jesus still is in the saving business. Amen? Can somebody help me preach? Is Jesus still in the saving business? We need that same passion for souls. It's still about, there's 47 missionaries that we're supporting right now, this little church. That's amazing. Why? We have a passion for souls. We want to see souls come to know Jesus Christ. We preach here 3 days a week. Why? We want a soul to come in and get saved. It's all about souls. It's all about souls. It's all about saving souls. Paul said, I'm traveling here and fro. I'm writing letters here and fro. I've been put in the jail. I've been doing this, been doing that. Why? Because I want to see souls come to know Jesus Christ. And that is what it's all about. We need that passion. Verse number 3. Or number 4. Look at this. I'll end it out real quick. Bible says, we've got a cantankerous past ended. We've got a Christian perspective expressed. We've got a Christ partnership enjoyed. And then we've got a called pressing that's established. Look at verse 12. Bible says, not as though I had all already attained, either were already perfect. Look at verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself. He said, brethren, Christians. I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Look, this is some great advice. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth from those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Notice this. He's fulfilling life's purpose. He's forsaking life's preoccupations. And he's foreseeing life's promotion. There's a pursuit and there is a prize. Somebody say amen right there. There is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Listen, I'm going to put it on a crown and dance around all over God's promised land. I'll sing with a glittering crown on my brow. All I'll ever adore thee in endless delight. Are you looking for that crown? Are you living for that crown? We don't get reminded of this often. There is also a second judgment. You're going to be judged according to your works, the second judgment. If you're saved, God sees the blood. He says, get on past the white throne. You don't need to stop at that one. You're saved. Go to the bema seat. Go there. Go. Get judged for your works. Get judged. And it's going to be tried like it's fire. I believe he's going to wipe some tears off some faces that said, I'm not going to live for Jesus. He's going to wipe some tears off the faces that said, I'm going to go ahead and just be a practical atheist and then live for half for the devil and half for... Oh, no. Jesus is going to have to wipe those tears away. You're going to look at him and say, why didn't I give him my life? Why didn't I live for him? Why didn't I work for him? There's a prize to be won. There's a prize. Sometimes I lay in bed at night. I just think of his feet. I just think of wrapping my arms around his ankles. I just think of maybe just one, if I could just have one little diamond, just say, here you go, Jesus.
Oh, man, that'd be everything. I could just hear him say, well done, Austin. Well done. If you ask Paul to say, Paul, what'd you live for? He said, I lived for three words. Well done, Paul. That was it. He had a prize. He knew there was a prize to win. Let's look at this, and I'm done. 2 Timothy chapter 4. He gives a glimpse into this prize. 2 Timothy, I've tried to run quick, not keep you too long. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I'm getting hungry, amen. Verse number 7. I have fought. Oh, I hope I can say this at the end of my life. I hope I can say this. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, it gets better. There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness with which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at the day, and not to me only, but to unto all them also that love his appearing. Can't you imagine Jesus Christ himself stepping down from the throne to hand you a crown? I'm just going to let that simmer for a second. Jesus, the King of Glory, the smile on his face. Come here, boy. Steps down. Puts a little crown on your head. Gives you a big hug. Says, well done. The devil's doing a good job blinding us from that. A heavenly-minded person tends to get more done for God. Listen to me. Listen to me. Don't lose sight of that crown, oh my goodness. Don't go work for him. Go live for him. Go do for him. Not for yourself, but for him. For him. It's all about him. I've tried to get that across to you this morning. He's saying, look, brethren, and I'm done. Brethren, resurrection power is great. Even being the fellowship of the suffering, knowing him more is spectacular. God is awesome. Church is great. It's wonderful. But we get to that. Because guess what? After you shed that body, come up here and get a new body, made like this, guess what? You may even get a crown. And guess what? That's what he does. He says, his ways are past finding out. Paul says, I can't explain. By the way, it's going to be cool not to have this fight because what? It's called lies. Lies are the biggest option I want to throw in. You're looking at a kid that's not scared. Listen, I'm not scared of that. Can you not fool me? Why should I? Why should I be? I'm threatening you with that. Okay? But I want to encourage you this morning. Jesus is awesome. Here's my message. Jesus is awesome, and you get to know him. And guess what? You can know him more than you. And you'll be glad to pay it to you. That's a simple message. Always be a simple message. And guess what? That'll charge you a little bit too. Like nothing else in this world. There is a prize to be won. Paul said, I'm running a race. I'm fighting a fight. Fights and races are not easy. I ran races, they're not easy. I fought a couple fights. They're not easy. They're not easy. I used to wrestle in the future. It's not easy. Look at me. Look at it. It ain't easy. Grab a leg, I'm like, it ain't easy. Paul didn't say it's going to be easy. He says it's going to be wonderful. Only one. Because there's three things in the cycle of promise that exist. There were going to be hate. There were going to be love. And then there were going to be reward. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? Look, don't think. And he said, I have faith. But I expected God to get better. He always will. He always will. Christian, listen. Don't fight. Don't give up on this thing. America needs you.
Amen.
This world needs you. Don't fight. Don't fight. And at the end of this, don't lose sight of the end of this thing. At the end of this thing, when you walk through those gates and Jesus looks at you, puts his arm around you, and says, thank you. Oh, I'm going to hear you. Jesus said that to me? I'm going to hit my knees and thank him for forever. I'm going to give you one thank you. All I'm looking for. Know him. Well, let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for the Bible.
I'm going to give a little invitation time. Father in heaven, there may be somebody in here that is not saved, does not know you. Lord, I want to give somebody today that doesn't know you as their Savior the opportunity to come to know you more, to come to know you, to come to meet you. Lord Jesus, the Bible says it's appointed a man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Lord God, for somebody here today that's not saved, I pray that you'd convict their hearts right now. Lord, if there's somebody here that needs to just give something up for you, convict their hearts right now. If there's somebody here that needs to rededicate their lives to you, convict their hearts right now, I pray in Jesus' name. I'm going to ask you a few questions real quick. You can keep your head bowed, eyes closed, for the privacy of others. If there's anybody here that does not know the Lord as your Savior and you'd like to come to know Him today, would you slip your hand up? Nice and slow, slip your hand up. Is anybody here that's not saved? Okay. If there's anybody here and God's been speaking to your heart and God has been telling you to give up something that you want to give up, make that decision, just privately, would you slip your hand up? Say, God's been speaking to my heart, making my decision. If there's anybody in there that wants to surrender your life, so God's been working on my heart about giving my life to you. Would you slip your hand up? Anybody here want to surrender your life?
Amen. Let's all stand our feet, please. And take your hymn if you want to, page 306. Page 306, we'll sing. Have that on way. Lord, let God have His way in your life. Everybody hear me all right? This thing, I can't hardly hear. 306, if you'll play. Let God speak to your heart today. We'll sing 306.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielding and still.
Let's all bow our heads just for a moment. Some are praying, sister. Still, if you'll continue to play. God spoke to your heart today. God knows every need of every heart in this building this morning. And you can let Him have His way. Here's the question I have for you. Is Jesus enough? Is He enough? I'm afraid today a lot of folks, well, another message about Jesus, just another service about Jesus. Is He enough? I'm afraid our country has said He's not enough. Is He enough for your life? Is He enough to satisfy you? That passage says that I may know Him. That I may know Him. Is He enough? Is He enough? It's all about Him. Heaven be an awful boring place for you if He's not enough. He is the light. It's about Him. Everything's about Christ. I'm concerned that even in our churches, even in our own life, we want something different. We want something more. Something that pleases the flesh. And Jesus won't please the flesh. It's just not going to work that way. It's not sinful. It's got to be about Him. And God knows your heart. The pastor says that I may know Him, the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His suffering. If you've ever through a hard time in your life, hey, listen, is He enough? We'll sing another verse. I want you to ask that simple question, and we'll sing that, and we'll close here in just a moment. Is He enough that I may know Him? Let's surrender to Him this morning.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now. As in thy presence, humbly I bow.
All right, we'll close out the church invitation. Lord's invitation is always open. There's something that's come to my mind. In fact, one of the people was watching the service on the internet. We're living in a time now, you know, big thing. During Easter, I saw this. This has bothered me, church, because we need to get fired up again. We need some amen. We need some hallelujah. We need to get excited again. Because we're living in a world that thinks Jesus is a zombie. I heard people say that Easter, they call it National Zombie Day. Can I just say to you as your pastor, God help us. If that don't get you, that ought to make you about half mad. I've said, man, he's more than a zombie, friend.
Amen.
That I may know him. And to making fun of the resurrection. I know we've got a zombie-crazed world, but Jesus is not a zombie. And Easter is Resurrection Day, not National Zombie Day. Amen and amen. When the Amtrak train wrecked, they said there was 200, whatever it was, souls on board. Couldn't help themselves. Said souls on board. I thought, huh, ain't that funny? Souls, not bodies, not people. Souls. When a ship goes down, Titanic went down, they say there's so many souls on board. Why is that? Because we're soul. We're going to have a resurrected, glorified body. We talked about it Wednesday night. Fashioned like unto his glorious body. It's a glorious, not a flesh-eating monster. That's not our Savior. And I, as your pastor, are going to say it from this pulpit. Jesus is not a zombie. God help America and this world, because what you heard today was knowing him. No wonder that we're living in wickedness and sin if we think that's our Savior. Because he's a whole lot more than just some corpse walking around. Can I get an amen? And then you got my permission to get about half mad if you want to. Ask God to help you, of course. If somebody comes to you and says that, I saw that, I said, God, help us. And that's what people think about the Savior that we serve. I've got a Savior that changed my soul, so it changed my life. He changed my life. He's changed your life. Zombie don't do that for you, friend. I got a Savior that tells me to treat my wife and children right. Amen?
Amen.
Y'all wait? Is this thing on? Amen? We ought to be fired up about this thing. Listen, the Muslims are encroaching. We need to fall in love with Jesus again. I mean, that I may know him. Austin, if you wouldn't mind, stand back in the back, shake folks' hand. If you enjoy that day, say amen.
Amen.
Let's get fired up about that, because we sure have a God in heaven. It's wonderful to us. He sure has been awful good to me. He's been good to you too. Amen. And we'll ask God's blessing. I'm going to send you on to meet with the Bible school workers if they can for just a few minutes. We'll get kind of organized a little bit. You got some stuff to give out too, don't you? And invite somebody out now, Bible school meeting. And we'll have choir tonight, Brother Gerald, is that right? Choir at 6 o'clock. And come out tonight. Now, I've got a message. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. You need to come tonight. I've been holding off preaching this. But I believe you won't be here at this service tonight. I really do. You don't have to be, but I encourage you to come. 7 o'clock, preaching hour. And I've had this in my Bible now for probably 2 or 3 months, and I've been putting it off. I'm gonna preach it tonight. It's pretty steaming hot. Thanks, burn a hole in my Bible. So come back out tonight. Being glad to be in God's house. Say amen. Let's pray and have a wonderful day. Again, we'll meet. You'll meet over here on this side. Probably right here. All right, all the Bible school workers, let's pray again. Heavenly Father, we sure thank and praise you. Lord, I know that you're the resurrection and the life. Lord, I pray that our church would get as close to you as we've ever got. Lord, not to the world, not to even our old flesh, but God, to you. I pray you just work. I pray you'd help us to know your power. Just fall in love with you all over again every service. Lord, we sure love you and thank you today. I thank you for our dear people. Lord, I think there's a crowd here that loves you. And Lord, they know that you're more than a zombie. And I pray, dear God, that you just bless and be with us today as we dismiss. And we ask you to bless now in Jesus' name. Amen.